Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So we're back to the R word again, the Roswell case, and could it have possibly been some kind of aircraft, test aircraft developed by those Nazi scientists? With Gene and Chris, we have Joseph Farrell to explain it all. Go ahead, please.
If you look at Roswell carefully, and I'm going to try and compact a 500-plus page book into a few minutes. If you look at the Roswell case carefully and base your analysis on the premise that Nazism survived the war, there is a key document that is cited by the Roswell pro-extraterrestrial hypothesis researchers. It's called the Shulgin Intelligence Collection Memorandum. This was a memorandum drawn up by the chief of Air Force intelligence at the time, a fellow by the name of General Shulgin. Now, the interesting thing about this document is it comes in two versions. It comes in a hoaxed version, which clearly has additions favoring the extraterrestrial hypothesis. And then it comes in an authentic version where no mention is made of extraterrestrials or off-planet origins for this technology, but where there is a clear reference to technologies developed in Nazi Germany. All right, and that reference to technologies developed in Nazi Germany exists in both versions of the document. Now, I'm pointing this document out because it's a signal indicator of what may have really panicked the American military after their recovery of whatever it was that crashed at Roswell. Let's, just for the sake of argument, forego the extraterrestrial hypothesis for a moment and assume that what Jesse Marcel came onto in that debris field, and once it was brought back to Roswell Army, U.S. Army Airfield in Roswell, and they had enough chance to look at it, and then they bring in General Nathan Twining of the Air Materials Command, who's definitely in the area at the time, and he looks at this stuff, and he's thinking, oh my God, if the U.S. military in July of 1947 finds something Nazi has crashed in the New Mexico desert, are they going to hit the panic button? Are they going to attempt to cover it up? You betcha. And the reason is simple. This is the enemy that supposedly we defeated 2 years ago. What in the name of God are they doing flying in our airspace over our sensitive defensive installations 2 years after the end of the war? The political conclusion that they would have come to if this is accepted for the sake of argument is, oh my God, they're out there somewhere and they're continuing to develop this stuff. And it's very interesting when you read the Shulgin Intelligence Collection Memorandum, even in its extraterrestrial hoaxed version, Shulgin is extremely concerned to find out where the heck are the Horton brothers. In other words, where were these German engineers that developed the flying wing? Now, that statement, even in the version that is going on and on about extraterrestrials, is a dead giveaway that this crash has nothing to do with extraterrestrials. Why would you need a bunch of German engineers if you came across something extraterrestrial?
I just wonder, Joseph, to interject here, is if E.T. might have been in some cases a convenient excuse, you know, well, because yeah. E.T. sounds fantastic and incredible, but it misdirects us from what might be a real source, assuming these Precisely. Nazi scientists were responsible, assuming.
Precisely. That is exactly the view that I take in Roswell and the Reich, because if you look at the U.S. Army Air Force's response, what they do is they set up what I call the Roswell dialectic. They set up something that forces you or compels you to examine the event from one of two points of view, that it's either extraterrestrial or something so mundane that it's almost ridiculous to spend time with, namely the capture of some sort of balloon, all right? What you are prevented from doing in that dialectical setup is looking at the possibility that this represents an extraordinary human technology, number one, and number two, an extraordinary human technology that is not under post-war American or Soviet control. So the big news, as far as I'm concerned about Roswell, simply isn't the technology. The big news is political. Because if you find something Nazi has crashed in the New Mexico desert in 1947, that's a huge political statement. You cannot afford to admit the possibility that you may be dealing with an enemy that has gone deeply underground after the war, that has bases of operation that you suspect may exist, but you don't know exactly where. On top of all of that, you're dealing, therefore, with an enemy that has vast resources of funding and, by the nature of the case, has access to that funding, which can only imply collusion of some of your own financial institutions. So, in other words, the political implications are huge.
Well, the thing is here, the question that you raise here, based on what you say, would that mean that sources within the military-industrial complex, so-called, would be using money to finance this third party?
No, it's the banks that are funding it.
I think
the international bankers.
Exactly.
These are legitimate questions, and I think there is a little bit of both, because one of the things that you run into, if you look at the Magic 12 documents, some of the Magic 12 documents suggest that after the Roswell crash, the U.S. Army Air Force brought in some of these German scientists to look at this stuff and tell them what it was, what they thought it was. Now, why would you do that? If you suspected, let's reason this through. If you're the U.S. Army Air Force and you suspect that you've got something genuinely extraterrestrial on your hands, do you bring in your former enemies to look at it and render an opinion? My guess would be no, simply on, you know, the security interests of compartmentalization. You keep this a secret and you keep it to yourselves and to the most trustworthy individuals. You don't bring in Wernher von Braun or Kurt Davis and say, hey, look at this cool stuff. What do you think it is? You know, because, as I also point out in Roswell and the Reich, the U.S. Army counterintelligence had reason, serious reason to believe that these Nazi scientists were still in communication with other Nazis and they didn't know where or how. So in other words, the whole story that we've been given reeks, all right? Now, who are these Nazis in bed with? Well, I point out in another of my books called Babylon's Banksters that if you look at the composition of the early post-war Bilderberg meetings, let's recall a dynamic about these meetings. On the Western or Anglo-American financial elite side, who do you have setting these meetings up? Well, you have the involvement of the Rothschilds. You have Lawrence and David Rockefeller helping set this up. But who do you have on the European side? Well, you've got Prince Bernhard. Who's Prince Bernhard? He's a minor German nobleman, but he is a senior manager in IG Farben. He's an SS officer, all right? So in other words, he is a representative, if you will, of all of this vast post-war Nazi loot that needs to be laundered. Who's one of the frequent guests at these early Bilderberg meetings? A fellow by the name of Dr. Hermann Josef Ops. Who's he? Well, he just happens to be the CEO of Deutsche Bank, all right? During the war, Dr. Ops was head of a handling bank in Berlin that handled all of the Reich government accounts. In other words, this was the guy that signed the paycheck for Adolf Hitler as Chancellor of the Reich, okay? So in other words, if you look at the dynamic of the Bilderberg meetings, you've got the Nazis sitting on this vast pile of post-war loot. They need to be able to launder that loot and have access to it.
I'll tell you what, we have to get a little bit of loot ourselves for a moment here.
Okay,
Joseph Farrell joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Yeah. hey, neighbors, you've seen all those crazy, wacky products on TV. The perfect tortilla, easy covers, hot booties, furniture fix, petty spin, and more. Where do you find all that stuff? You go to asseenontv.com because this is the one-stop source for all of these TV goods advertised. Find all your favorites as seen on TV. Check them out asseenontv.com. And by the way, save 10%. Here's what you do. Use the code SEEN1, S-E-E-N number 1, SEEN1. Go to asseenontv.com to order. Save 10%. Purchase this summer's hottest As Seen on TV items. Save 10%. Or call 1-866-277-3366. 1-866-277-3366. The code SEEN1 to save 10%.
Gold, it's like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2233. For the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
What's safer and cheaper than prescription drugs?
Glad you asked. The answer is renovation teas. Herbal remedies are much safer and much cheaper than prescription drugs. Taste great, and most importantly, herbal teas are effective and non-addictive. Renovation tea is especially unique, and here's why. We spent years researching herbs and their beneficial properties. Renovation Teas uses only 100% organic, fair trade herbs. Our teas are blended towards specific ailments and health conditions, such as diabetes, blood pressure, anxiety, libido, detox, and much more. All Renovation Teas are formulated and hand-filled in Arkansas. Take care of yourself naturally, the way Mother Nature intended. Order Renovation Teas at renovationtea.com or call 870-784-3121. That's 870-784-3121. Renovation Teas. Renovate your health one bag at a time.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 Organic Soil Conditioner, Fertilizer Amendment, and Compost Accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
We're back. We collected a couple of dollars, I think, on that session with Gene and Chris. We have Joseph Farrell. And we're having a fascinating discussion here, looking into the so-called international bankers who might have somehow financed the Nazi science. But I have to ask you this question here again, which I'm still a little bit dim on. Where did this go after the 50s? And we can go into more connections between UFO sightings and possible Earth-based saucers. But what's happening in 2012? Has any of this gone on, or is it way, way underground? What's happened?
I think it's both. I think definitely you have to look at the creation of this post-war Blacks Projects entity in the American military-industrial complex in a twofold fashion, because what you're dealing with, the scientific capabilities that you're dealing with, would require an enormous amount of funding. And I think, therefore, that this funding mechanism itself is deeply Black, and it was set up, in my opinion, after World War II, with the collusion of major American financial institutions with certain key individuals in the government, in the intelligence and military bureaucracies, on the one hand, and on the other, with the knowledge and participation of the former Axis power elites. And I say that because there's a Japanese component to this story. It's very, very significant as well. So you have basically, Gene, I think an agreement, what I call it the détente, the post-war détente between the surviving elites of the Axis powers with access to all this vast loot and the financial and military elite of the post-war West, particularly the United States. The détente consists of this, and I'll be very brief and blunt about what I think happened. They moved all of this liquid cash and then hard assets like bullion, precious gems, and so on and so forth, into the Western banks. This became, in effect, a secret reserve against which the banks participating in the scheme could vastly expand their ledger credit entry-making ability. So, number one, this movement of Axis loot in the post-war period into the major Western banks in part accounts for the post-war expansion of credit and the post-war boom. But the second thing we have to remember, and I'm letting a huge clue out here for folks, is that when you say that you have a secret reserve, this would therefore allow those banks to rehypothecate that reserve over and over and over again and create a huge bubble of leverage against that reserve. Now, the reason I'm putting it that way is, isn't it very, very interesting that the one nation with in the world with allegedly the second largest gold reserves right now is Germany? And what's Germany calling for? It wants a full audit of all of its gold in the U.S. Federal Reserve System. And we are squirming. So I think you're also looking, if you look at my scenario of this post-war financial development and carry it down to today, I think what you're looking now is at the breakdown of that post-war financial system and post-war détente.
Well, does the economic crisis affecting the entire world, especially USA banks, the largest banks, is that part of it in any way? I mean, we learned to think it was mortgage-backed securities and all this other nonsense.
Yes, I think it is part of it, and I think mortgage-backed securities are a part of this, the whole creation of the derivatives bubble. But what I'm suggesting to you, what I'm attempting to suggest to you, is that this whole system, this whole creation of derivatives, credit default swaps, mortgage bubbles, and so on and so forth, is in turn based upon this hidden system of finance and the rehypothecation of secret hard reserves over and over and over again. The reason why this was done is if you look at the vast amount of money that we're talking about a system of finance that was set in place after World War II for the precise purpose of, number one, waging a covert war against the communist bloc to eventually roll it back and ultimately defeat it, number one. And number two, with such vast funds available and completely off the books, you are able to finance hugely expensive technological black projects. That means that this system of finance is tied inexorably to the creation of a super sophisticated war machine. You can't get rid of the one without getting rid of the other. they're inexorably tied. What they might have accomplished in that time is anybody's guess. But to connect a few dots here, let's look at the case of Gary McKinnon in the United Kingdom. He hacks into American computers and he discovers, or so he claims, the existence of an entire secret space program with secret capabilities that none of us know about.
Right.
This idea of a secret space program goes all the way back to Nazi Germany. Why? Very simply, the reason is this. You have with the V-2s, the V-1s, all of their ballistic missile programs, you have the public space program. But with things like the Horton brothers, their flying wings, we haven't even talked about some of the Nazi ideas for jet turbine-based flying saucers, and more importantly, with the Bell project, you have this interest in very, very avant-garde notions of engineering and physics that at the deepest level is the secret space program. So this twin-track program idea, in other words, dates from and to Nazi Germany.
Now, when you talk of secret space program, and I want to get back to the UFO connection with this in a moment. How far are we talking about? Are we talking about another program that's landed people on the moon, on Mars or something? How far, how extensive might this program be? And let me just tell you before the answer, we're going to have to do the break in a little over a minute so we can start here and continue next section.
But how far? Basically, I think that you have to at least entertain the possibility, Gene, that you're looking at a program that may have the capability of landing and sustaining a human presence on the moon and possibly on nearby celestial neighbors like Mars. I think you have to acknowledge at least the possibility. And the reason, again, is you're dealing with a technology that dates at least from World War II. I mean, if we really want to press the case, we can go back to some of the strange things Tesla was saying at the turn of the last century. So in other words, we could be dealing with something that's taken an entire century to covertly develop. And given the vast amounts of money sloshing around out there that are both inside and outside the global system of public finance, then we have to, I think, at least acknowledge the possibility that that capability might exist.
We'll have to see how far it goes in our next segment with Joseph Farrell. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, thanks to Dan Pillip, you can get the tax help you need to end your tax nightmare.
Hi, I'm Dan Pillip. I've helped thousands of people reduce or eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. With the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait. There's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Do you think your home is toxic? According to the Consumer Protection Agency, over 150 chemicals found in the average home are connected to allergies, birth defects, cancer, and psychological disorders. The proven fact is, we live in the most toxic environment in history. Yes, toxins can be killers, but there is something you can do. Detoxify your body with the Ion Cleanse Detoxification System from A Major Difference. The Ion Cleanse is made in the USA, carries the best warranty in the industry, and comes with a no-risk, money-back guarantee. We have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and are trusted by thousands of doctors worldwide. Visit IonCleanse.com. That's IonCleanse.com. Or call 877-315-8638. That's 877-315-8638. Invest in your health with the Ion Cleanse from A Major Difference. IonCleanse.com. One of the most important decisions you will ever make.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
With Gene and Chris, you're in the Paracast. Joseph Farrell making his first visit on the show. It will not be his last. Lots of fascinating discussion here, Joseph. So let me just ask you a few theoretical questions. Okay. So we have this group of scientists, possibly formerly working with Nazi Germany. We have unlimited sources of money from the international bankers or banksters, as we sometimes call them. We have the potential that they've continued a secret or covert space program, even though publicly the U.S. space program has gone nowhere since we landed on the moon. There's a secret space program. There may be some detente amongst various countries, even considering what's going on behind the scenes. But now, to get to the real meat and potatoes here, and something I think some of our skeptical listeners are going to ask, how do we prove there's a secret space program? What evidence is there for it?
Well, I think you have to take a two-track approach to it, Gene. The first would be finances. The way or the method. I'm writing a book right now about this very topic, so I'm kind of giving away a bit of it.
Well, you'll sell some books, that's all.
Well, I hope so. But the first way is to look at the system of finance itself and really determine why is it there. The first method would be to look at this system of finance and determine, number one, is there a hidden system of finance? And if so, is the system of finance large enough? Is the amount of money apparently involved in it large enough to support a vast covert technological development, all right? Now, I think, as a matter of fact, that you can argue that case. In fact, no less than a former Assistant Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, Catherine Austin Fitz, has been saying the same thing, that there does exist this huge system of finance and that it may have been for the purpose of funding by projects. The second thing you have to look at, I think, is there sufficient evidence to suggest a twofold scientific development? Number one, is there evidence of an alternative or suppressed physics? And number two, is there evidence of the development of a technology based on that alternative physics model? And I think you have to come away in answer to that question that there definitely is. Let's take an example, and this will probably be familiar to some of your listeners. The former head of the Lockheed Skunk Works, Ben Rich, after his retirement, is reported as saying some very strange things. Number one would be, we found an error in the equations, and now we have the technology. And this really blew me away when I heard it. Now we have the technology.
To take E.T. back to the stars.
E.T. back to the stars.
E.T. go home.
E.T. go home, you know. And then you add to this some of the other statements that Rich made, that, you know, we have stuff out in the desert that would make George Lucas blush, you know, green with envy and so on and so forth. Now, I think that if you look at the entire history of development of physics, and I attempt to do this to some extent in the Nazi books, particularly in the SS Brotherhood of the Bell, you have to look at people like the British physicist E.T. Whittaker in a 1903 paper that he wrote, very technical paper, I should add, called On the Partial Differential Equations of Mathematical Physics. You know, you read this thing, it's 50 pages of partial differential equations. But the bottom line is that you come up with papers like this that are pre-relativistic, that are very, very different in terms of the type of physics that they envision. Now, the reason I mentioned Whittaker is that his paper was published in Germany, in Mathematische Annalen. So, in other words, the Germans, when the Nazis come to power, they're sitting on top of all of these papers that were published prior to the Nazi assumption of power inside of Germany. So, in other words, the Nazis are looking at this and they are possibly seeing the potential for the development of a very different paradigm, or at least a very different technology based on some of these concepts in some of these papers.
Brings me to a question that we have from Gobsmacky, one of our forum posters.
Uh-huh.
And he asks, you know, you have stated that physics has been a pastime of yours, and you don't claim any qualifications there.
Right.
But, you know, you're talking about a 50-page paper of differential equations, and right. He goes on to ask, can you tell us to what level did you study physics in school? Have you been keeping up with changes in physics since then? And give us an idea of your level of expertise in this particular realm.
Well, I don't claim expertise. I read certain physics papers. I try to stay abreast of certain developments. As for my level, when I was in junior high school, I grew up in South Dakota. And at the time, I can't speak for their school system now, but at the time, they had accelerated programs in various disciplines, so that if you showed talent or if you showed that you were bored, for that matter, in some of the courses at your level, they'd skip you a couple of grades and put you in certain programs to accelerate, you know, your educational experience. So when I began the seventh grade, I was put in one of these accelerated mathematics programs. So I was being given courses that normally would have been taught two grades later than what I was given. And that continued all the way through my high school period. And I, as far as physics goes, you know, in seventh grade, I became fascinated with physics when I read a book by Albert Einstein and Leopold Enfeld that was called The Evolution of Physics. It's a little paperback kind of popular presentation of the development of physics from the standpoint of Einstein and his development of relativity theory. So, you know, I became interested in it. I can't claim any school education in it. It's just something I read about on my own. You know, I've got a whole bookshelf here in my office library. Actually, two bookshelves of math and physics textbooks, just things I like to read about.
Okay, so let me ask you a question here that always occurs when you talk about the possibilities of secret weapons, secret aircraft, and perhaps a secret space program. Whether, for example, Roswell was a secret aircraft that crashed.
Right.
Among all those UFO sightings that we reported in those early days, including the craft seen above Washington in 1952, do you think all or at least some of the aircraft seen was due to secret Nazi developments?
I think this is a great question. I think that
excuse me for cutting in, but I mean, Kenneth Arnold's sighting of nine objects near Mount Rainier are really reminiscent of some of the designs that the Horton brothers were working on at the end of World War II.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we sure turned that class exciting on its head.
It's interesting you point that out, Chris, because I post Arnold's picture in SS Brotherhood of the Bell and then give you a picture of one of the Horton flying wings actually in flight so that you can see the strong resemblance of what Arnold drew and what the Hortons actually designed. The resemblance is stunning. So do I think that the 1952 UFO flap over Washington, D.C. might have been something from this Nazi project? Possibly. But I think the other thing we need to be very, very careful of, for those who want to look at all of this as being nothing but human development, we have to look at the physics signatures of what we're seeing. Are they, on the one hand, sufficient to compel to the conclusion that these things are extraterrestrial objects? Well, in my opinion, in many cases, no, they're not. But, on the other hand, in many cases, they are beyond what we could project reasonably as falling within human capability of the day. Now, I happen to think that it's possible that the 1952 UFO flap may have, at least in part, have been from some human black project. But I by no means think that you can explain all UFO sightings, particularly those indicative of a technology.
I'll tell you what, we'll have to explore technology, Earth-made UFOs, and otherwise, with Joseph Farrell joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Whether it's personal mail, whether it's business email, you want reliable, dependable delivery, freedom from spam, freedom from viruses. Well, Polaris Mail offers professional email hosting services for your personal or small business use. Each account uses 25 gigabytes of storage, an easy-to-use webmail interface, and full mobile sync. Sign up today for a 30-day free trial at PolarisMail.com, PolarisMail.com. So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I had already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
We just had a terrible storm in the east, but we are all still in the eye of the perfect storm. We have the most devastating economic conditions since the Great Depression, America's worst drought in agricultural history, and what about the presidential election? This perfect storm is a huge threat to everyone's food supply. eFoods Direct is preparing for the shortages, and you had better do the same. I can warn you, but I can't feed you. You know that eFoods is the best tasting and safest food on the planet. We all need a bunch of storable and usable food from eFoods Direct. None of us wants to be standing in a bread line trading our freedom for food. Anyone who doesn't take control of their uncertain future has to be just a little bit nuts. Call 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. How will you bet your life? Call 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Would you rather prepare 6 months too early or one day too late?
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light Systems system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
I'd seen the longevity products work for many others, and so I bought a bunch of them, started using them, had a little bit of results, but I wasn't following the regimen every day. But Aaron Dykes in my office did and lost more than 60 pounds. When I saw those results, I said, I better follow my own advice. I started taking the longevity products, and it's been incredible. 37 pounds in 2 months. Our bodies are amazing, and God gave us an incredible gift. But if our body doesn't have the tools it needs, all of the vitamins, all of the minerals, and the other key essential trace elements, we're not going to be healthy. Folks, this isn't hype. I only bring to my listeners products that I've tried myself and I truly believe in. And the amazing supplements available at InfoWarsTeam.com have certainly delivered my life. I hope you'll give them a try. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com today and order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex Dietary Supplement. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.
This is Kurt Sutherland, the author of UFO Mysteries, and you're listening to the Paracast.
With Gene and Chris, we are going on a journey to what? Earth-based UFOs? ET? And you're talking here, Joseph Farrell, about a physics signature evidence, I guess, as to whether an aircraft is something that we have could have developed or something that might be done elsewhere.
Well, I was saying before the break, I by no means think that you can explain every single UFO sighting as the product of a human technology. I think there's too many cases, for example, of USOs, of unidentified submarine objects that, you know, come flying in into the water and disappear or fly out of the water up into the sky. To my mind, that's a capability that possibly exceeds human capabilities, even for these secret flying projects. So I think we have to be careful. I don't think that every UFO sighting is something human. I attempt to examine things on a case-by-case basis. Roswell and the Reich is a 500-plus page book about that specific subject and what researchers have said, and in my opinion, I think have said erroneously about that event. But, you know, I certainly don't think that you can account for everything that falls under the UFO phenomenon as being a Nazi development or a human development. No, I've never believed that.
Joseph, one thing that's always puzzled me was Admiral Byrd's Operation Hijack expedition down to Antarctica. And, of course, over the years, we've all heard stories of New Schwabenland and possible German sort of infrastructure building underneath the ice caps of Antarctica. Where do you come down on that? What do you think about that whole scenario of an Antarctic German presence?
Okay, that's one I get answered or asked a lot. And my response is always the same. I have massive doubts about a Nazi Antarctic UFO research or development base in Antarctica. The reason being, let's go back to the Bell story for a moment. If you look at the way this story unfolds, we really have to look at the details of the story. One of the details of the Bell device, if you examine the story, is that it required an enormous amount of direct current electrical power, to the extent that the Nazis built an entire electrical power plant within hundreds of yards of the installation at which the Bell device was tested. All right. So in other words, the idea that the prototype gateway technology into this field propulsion capability was continued after the war in Antarctica would have required enormous electrical power. It would have required installations of massive size in Antarctica. Now, to imagine the German Navy as being operationally capable of waging not only a campaign against British and American shipping in the Atlantic, but also getting the German Navy to ship by U-boat the components to produce that kind of electrical power and to build the installations in Antarctica that this would have required is, to me, an impossibility. So that's not to say I don't think the Nazis had some sort of installation in Antarctica, but it is nothing even remotely close to what
it would take to come up with that technology.
And the other part of the story we need to remember here, Chris, is that the people putting out that line, that there was this huge Nazi flying saucer research base in Antarctica, and they chased Admiral Byrd out of there with flying saucers and ray guns, the people putting that story out, by and large, are neo-Nazis, all right? Now, I have no doubt that Admiral Byrd may have been chased out of Antarctica by a bunch of Nazis, all right? I have no problem with that. But they weren't coming from Antarctica. If they're coming from anywhere, they're probably coming from Tierra del Fuego or some base in southern Argentina, but not in Antarctica. Now, did the Nazis have a base in Antarctica? Probably. It may have been a secret U-boat base. It may have been a little resupply point. It may have been a weather station. They may have even hidden some things there that they didn't want anybody else to find. But a UFO research base, no.
That leads me to another question, which I meant to ask you earlier. Uh-huh. Again, from Gogsmacky, one of our prolific posters at forum.theparacast.com. And he asks, we have a forum member, Polterwurst, who is German, and he has often stated that the whole paranormal field, and I assume he means UFOs as well, is treated with contempt in Germany. Do you have any contacts there who are open to topics such as the Nazi Bell, etc.? And if so, do they take an interest secretly due to an attitude of most people there?
That's kind of an interesting question. I've never had that before. I have a number of my books that have been published in Germany, and one of them is precisely the SS Brotherhood of the Bell, which in the German title is Die Bruderschaft der Glocke. And that tells me, you know, that's one of the books that's been published in Germany. I've had a couple more that have been bought by my German publisher. So that tells me that there is the interest in Germany. And I'll tell you the reason why I think that it may be present in Germany. German reunification, to me, Chris, is the signal event here that kicks loose so much of these stories. The reason why is that within the former Eastern Zone, within the former East Germany, and those portions of Germany that lie now in Poland, Silesia and Western Pomerania and so on, you had a lot of these huge Nazi installations, underground installations, that weren't on anybody's radar screen. In other words, we couldn't pin these installations to any specific project that had been written about during all of those decades of the two Germanys. They weren't appearing on anybody's radar, man. And it's interesting that many of the documents that I refer to in my books start being declassified after German reunification. It's almost as if the Allies know the jig is up, the cover story is going to be blown, because these installations are huge, okay? And self-evidently, a lot of them had to do with the German nuclear program. So I think part of it, you see in Germany a bunch of authors like Thomas Mayer and Friedrich Georg, researchers like that, even Professor Rainer Karsch, that have written a number of books now challenging the post-war Allied legend on the basis of documents that have been declassified and on the basis of access to these installations that used to lie in the Soviet zone. So I think the Germans are showing curiosity about these things, but they're, you know, in typical German fashion, they're being very cautious and being very thorough as to, you know, how they're going to interpret these installations and the science behind them.
Well, that's a point well taken, and I do remember some of the news clips after reunification of hordes of you know, radicals, you know, descending on GRU headquarters and outposts and pulling out reams and reams of documents. You would think that there's going to be some sort of revelations that are going to come from that. But, you know, the whole idea of the East-West dialectic, as you put it in one of your books, and that whole idea of Reinhard Galland, and you bring up in Saucers, Swastikas and Psyops, a really interesting point that one of the guys that was the architect, along with Alan Dulles, of Operation Paperclip, which brought over hundreds of Nazi scientists to the West, was that we had a guy that had literally, he was ahead of Soviet, you know, anti-Soviet intelligence for the Nazis. He was left intact with his apparatus intact as an intelligence asset for the United States. Let's briefly talk about that. I think that's something that we've kind of overlooked here in the conversation.
Yeah,
is the U.S. Understanding and intel about what the actual state of scientific development was going on in the Soviet Union after the war.
Right. Well, what you're referring to there is an organization in Nazi Germany called Fremde Heere Ost, which means Foreign Armies East. It was German military intelligence.
Before we get on to the explanation of that agency. Okay, but it's also that time for me to interrupt. With Joseph Farrell, you're hearing Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it led back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Preparedness is simple when you have the right stuff. And with the looming threat of economic collapse and possible service interruption, it's time to get the best-in-class preparedness stuff at DisasterStuff.com. DisasterStuff.com has been serving smart preppers for over 15 years with quality products like Berkey water filters. DisasterStuff.com is the official Berkey in-stock shipping center. And as always, free shipping on all Berkey products. Stock up on water barrels and accessories. Get Country Living or Wonder Mill grain mills. Excalibur food dehydrators. Tatler reusable canning lids. Sun oven solar cookers. EMP bags to protect sensitive electronics. And don't be without your Life Straw personal water filter. All from DisasterStuff.com. Preparedness is simple. With the right stuff from DisasterStuff.com. Freedom through self-reliance and personal responsibility.